Good afternoon, everybody. It's Joe Varnador filling in for Mr. Kevin Shortell today. Hope everybody is doing well and staying warm. I'm just thankful to be in Florida right now. I know that I will be going back to Chicago in a couple of days. So, yeah, it's certainly interesting up there. And Miss Martha, are you on the phone?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good, good. I tried to, anyway, long story short, I don't know what's going on with my other computer, so I had to switch computers real quick. Hope everybody's doing well today.
Absolutely. So we have the special treat on the call today, everybody. So, hey Martha, I hear that I owe you a movie sometime here in the near future.
Yeah, well, the Western wasn't quite for me, but that's okay. That's all right. So.
Yeah. It was a little bloody. So we're talking about The Hateful Eight, guys. It was a guy's movie for sure. So Eddie thanked me for recommending that one and him taking you to that, obviously. So. What can I say? All right, so is there anything you want to specifically go over today, Martha, or we're just going to roll on with some of our questions here?
No, I think we'll just take the questions. I didn't have anything specific. I know Eddie just asked if I'd jump on the call and kind of help out since Kevin wasn't available. So and some of these things I know are maybe procedures that I may not even be able to answer because I'm not really on the other end of this sometimes.
Right.
So, you know, we'll just, if it's something we don't know the answer to, we'll certainly find out.
Yeah, you know, some of these are a little different as well for me. So sometimes I have to get a little advice from some of the other guys as well, you know, like Charles or Eddie. So, but let's let me find Connie and see what she has here. Oh, there she is. Hey, Connie, how are you? You're gonna have to unmute yourself.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good. I'm glad we got that taken care of. I know we were having some trouble the other day, right?
Yeah, I'm on a different phone.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, let's kind of look and see. I know you had a couple of things here. One was on hardest hit funds, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's go ahead and have a look at this one. Let's see. You had something come across your desk today. Go ahead and describe what you have here, and then we'll just kind of talk through it.
Yeah, I had an investor contact me about wanting a number of rental properties and just looking for basically a 1% return. So if they're all in with the cost and everything at $80,000, they want something that's going to, you know, have an $800 per month rent.
Right.
So, you know, pretty easy that way.
Yes.
But they want multiple. So my question is, how do we work with investors and be able to sell them multiple so that they don't get the first note and then decide that, you know, they're going to try to contact Colonial Funding directly or something like that?
Well, you know, the first thing we need to do with you is you'll need to kind of register these guys with Colonial so that in case they do try to in run you, you'll be taken care of. You will want to go ahead and put some type of fee agreement together as well. Just stating what your proposal, what you're going to do and what they're agreeing to do, because what you don't want to do is put a ton of work in this and then, you know, then decide that, well, we're just not going to do this right now. So, you know, you could certainly do it as an upfront fee and then a piece on the back end. But you need to make sure that you're going to get paid.
Right. And I wasn't sure because I know this has got to be something that happens fairly often with note school students. If note school has anything that, you know, it's kind of a format that's recommended, or if it's just kind of whatever you want to do, come up with it on your own kind of thing.
Well, and you know, I think that this is your deal. It's going to be a great learning experience for you as well for the future. So I think I personally wouldn't just kind of, you know, wouldn't hand it off. I would stay involved in it. And one of the things that we don't want is that we have a bunch of folks that don't know anything calling, you know, the trade desk and, or, you know, blowing Charles's phone up or Angie's phone up or whatever it is at the office to get questions answered. So I certainly think that you should probably stay in this one and work it through. And that's where you're going to see your greatest, A, gain in knowledge, and B, greatest gain in income.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there, I guess the other thing that crossed my mind is, if they're registered with the trade desk, then would, because the only other end around I could think of was if they actually decided to join Note School for the purpose of getting access to the assets.
Yeah.
Is that something that...
Yeah, that one. I don't know, Martha. I don't know how we would handle them trying to join Note School and try to end round Connie in that way. Maybe you have some thoughts on that.
Well, no, I really think your best option is, you wouldn't specifically be registering them with the trade desk, but we would just register them. We'd have to, I don't know exactly, I need to talk to Bob as far as like a procedure and if that's already set up and how we can do that. And you're just like, you've got to acquire these assets and resell them.
Right.
So, you know, that should hopefully keep them kind of separated from us enough because, you know, so that they don't come direct. I don't know if they, you know, they just showed up at a Note School class and wanted to do that. I really don't know what we could prevent them from doing. Yeah, I really don't.
Well, and I can't imagine that they would. I was just trying to think through, you know, different things that could happen. Try to overcome objections and think of what, you know, what might happen. I totally, you know, agree, Martha. If I were purchasing all the notes up front and then reselling them, but they're looking at like $3 million worth of budget that they could acquire a lot of notes. And I was trying to figure out if there was a way to use their money up front as opposed to purchasing them and then reselling.
Yeah. And there is that possibility, Connie. And you know, first of all, you need to get a non-circumvent agreement with them, number one. Number two, okay. I'd kind of let us know that, you know, who they are in case they tried to do an end run that way. And then number three, I'd get a fee agreement with them as well. And they need to sign a non-disclosure agreement also if you're providing them information.
Right, right. Yeah, and I'm going to be working with Kevin this weekend because they're coming here.
Right.
So we'll figure it out. But I just kind of wanted to get in my mind what I, you know, what I should be looking at or doing or thinking about.
And then what then the other part of that is you're going to be, what kind of geographic location are they looking at as far as these rentals they're wanting to get into?
They would prefer Arizona, but I already told them there's not that type of inventory available here.
Right.
So, basically, and they're very hands-on. They want to manage a lot of the process themselves, which is why, you know, a turnkey model wouldn't work for them, which would have been, you know, the ideal solution. But so they'd like to have them geographically grouped if possible, so they can use the same, you know, trades to manage and that sort of thing.
I can't imagine a bunch of guys, you know, people with $3 million wanting to have a hands-on deal with any kind of investment.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Unless maybe they've raised this capital from other sources, is that a possibility? And they're managing it, so that's the situation?
It could be, but, you know, and I'll vet that out and try to find out a little bit more about where the money's coming from. But my understanding is it's a person that is bored and likes to do it kind of thing.
Right.
More so than, you know, anything else, and just kind of, like you said, you know, anxious money, looking for a place to put it, but really enjoys, you know, playing around with the managed investment aspect. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'll try to find out.
And so I would, if you want to get, and I don't, I agree with getting them, you know, geographically pretty close together. I certainly understand that. It's just, like you said, it's going to be difficult to find a lot of the normal non-performing stuff in Arizona. You know, there could be some specialized stuff around that, you know, we could kind of go out and find, but, yeah, you need to kind of manage that as far, that expectation, as far as, nail down where they need to be, whether they would be in Missouri or Illinois or Ohio, or, I mean, obviously they'd get more bang for their buck somewhere else, but you've got to overcome that hurdle as you really, you need to do that right now. And
right,
see,
yeah. Well, and I would anticipate, Joe, that being part of the performance type, you know, fee agreement.
Yes.
As far as expectations and all that right up front. Because, you know, really looking at the assets that I see available at the moment, which I know there are more out there, but you know, I'm looking at more like Ohio. You know, you could put a big package together in Columbus and Cincinnati kind of thing.
Sure.
Exactly. That's something that's going to be more appropriate for what would be available in the non-performing space.
Yeah.
So I agree with that.
And
so honestly, if you could do that and you could nail down some markets that they would be interested in outside of Arizona or any of these states that we know there's not going to be enough inventory, then at that dollar figure, I think then we might could go back and actually, you know, find some assets that we can help you with.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they really had that much capital to put out, then I think that that'd be a possibility that we could zone in and go to some of these entities that we work with and say, hey, we need to see what we could put together at this dollar figure for, you know, for a particular investor possibly. So,
that's a great idea and that's kind of where I was going with that too, Martha, was that, yeah, we could kind of go into the marketplace and say, okay, we need 25 assets here or 30 or whatever they're, you know, whatever it works out to be, and then find those assets that are pretty close. And I'm pretty high on Cleveland right now. You know, I've been there several times and looked at assets there, and there's a lot of, that's a really growing market again, that and Columbus as well. So, both of those are really, really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, but definitely, I'd protect yourself up front. You know, you want to get some type of agreement in place and then reach out to most likely, honestly, reach out to Bob.
Yeah.
And let him know what the capital is going to be, what the areas that they'd be interested in, and then we could go from there and figure out what we could do and what we have in inventory and just see what, you know, what it looks like from there.
So that makes sense.
Great. Super. Thank you.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, that gives me something to, you know, to work toward and really be focusing on.
Yeah, so just shoot Bob an email and say, look, this is, we talked on the call today, talked with Joe and Martha, and this is what, you know, this is what we kind of came up with, and we've got some capital here, and so let's see what we can go out and find in the marketplace. So let's just kind of move on like that, and you'll kind of keep us in the loop and let you know. You'll kind of keep us in the loop and let us know what's going on.
Yep, I appreciate it.
Very good. Let's talk about hardest hit funds. That was a question you had as well. And you know, Illinois has been, they're out of hardest hit funds money. And we know that Michigan is taking applications through the end of this month. And I didn't know Ohio was out of funds, but I actually called them this afternoon, called the Ohio hardest hit funds there and spoke with the guy there for a few minutes about it. And yeah, Ohio is out, they're done as well. And obviously the fellow that I spoke with in Ohio said that they're recommending now that obviously that the borrowers that are, you know, in default and past due try to work directly with their banks because there is no funds that are available there at this point. So I know, Connie, that there are funds still available in Florida. I know there is in Tennessee. I know there is in Georgia. I think North and South Carolina, there's both funds left, as well as Kentucky. But those are the only ones that those three out of the 18, Michigan, Ohio, and Illinois are the three that are out of funds. So, you know, you could either, if you're interested in working with hardest hit funds, you can certainly, you know, just avoid those three states, or, you know, I still buy assets in Ohio, just, you know, not, I wouldn't do it not because there's no hardest hit funds available. So, but there are in most other states. I know here in Florida, Governor Scott is pushing to, Florida's spending about $25 million a month right now to try to get it taken care of, because only half of the $1 billion that Florida had was spent. So there's a real push to get those funds out into the marketplace and to the people that need them. So that's what that looks like right now.
Well, and I think,
okay,
too,
great.
Yeah, overall, too, for these states that do still have availability, there's still a lot of money out there within the funds. So I certainly still be looking at those states that have funds available.
Yeah, and you know, Martha, Tennessee is really, we've had a lot of students have a lot of success in Tennessee, and we have a lot of case studies from there. And I was looking when I did some full days in Tennessee, and actually they've got about $180-190 million left in Tennessee, and they had about a 72% approval rate, which I thought was really good.
Right. So, yeah, that is good.
And then Florida, we've got about $400 million left here in Florida. So there's still some money out there. So I certainly don't rule that out. Lisa says, what three states are out? That would be Michigan, Ohio, and Michigan, Ohio, and Illinois. Michigan is still available through, you can put in applications through the end of the month. But through the end of January, but they have to be received before the end of January to be considered. So those three states are out. Let's see. Bill Scher says, let me see. I missed most of Larry's. Okay, this is a webinar because I missed the fact. I don't know. Martha, are you in the office?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I was just... apparently we did a webinar with Larry Goins today, and so Bill, shoot an email in to Susan at noteschool.com and see if when they're going to replay that. I'm not really sure on that question. So Connie, you like Hateful Eight?
I did like Hateful Eight. I didn't like the Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
The Revenant, yeah, okay.
Oh, is that wrong?
Martha wasn't a fan. Martha was not a fan of Hateful Eight, yeah.
Well, it's a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
If you go to a Tarantino movie, that's pretty much what you're going to get, so, you know. But I thought it was good.
Well, we saw it in 70 millimeters, so it was pretty amazing. But anyway... Bill says also that he's ran across the same situations and obviously need to register as an investor. Okay, good. So let's see if we have other questions. Oh, Tim says New Jersey is out of funds as well. No, on Michigan, it says applications had to be in by 12/31. I thought I saw this, it was the end of the month, but, okay. So, Lisa says Michigan is out as well. So we got Michigan, Ohio, New Jersey, whatever the other one was. okay, Tim says the replay, Bill, is on at 8 Central again tonight. So you should be able to get on that as well. And that'll be a great webinar. All right, let's see. Let me see if we have any hands raised, Miss Martha, and see if we've got anything there. And then we've got another little asset here we want to look over. All right. Boy, the stock market's running wild today. think it was down 400 points earlier. I don't know where it closed, but I think it just closed. So.
Oh, yeah, I heard that on the news. It was down 400 points, yeah.
And oil is down below $27 a barrel, so that's good for us as consumers, but not so good for the oil folks. All right, let me see. We have a question here, a question from Les, and I want to see if he is on the call. So let me find him here, guys. Hold, bear with me for a sec. Okay. Yeah, Les is on. Hey, Les, it's Joe and Martha. How are you?
Greetings, Joe and Martha. I'm doing very well. I hope you are, too.
Very good. I hope you had a good meeting that you wound up so you could be here with us. So.
Yes, I did. Thanks.
Good deal. Well, let's kind of talk through what you've got here, and I'll let you kind of run through your scenario that you
okay.
sent me, and then we'll kind of talk through it, and we'll kind of talk about some exit strategies as well.
Okay. I bought a non-performing note last July from Colonial and thought there's a good possibility somebody was actually still in there. Turned out he was long gone, and in fact, the month before I bought it, the previous servicer had apparently collected an insurance
claim?
Adjustment for, yeah, a claim for stuff ripped out of there. It was for missing stuff and vandalism or something. Anyway, it was $3,800. Well, when I turned it over to FCI, they we had it winterized, and those guys went in and did a complete report. And basically, that's when we learned the guy had left everything behind except the air conditioner and the hot water heater and the kitchen and the lights, which he'd all taken out. So basically, it's a shell of an REO. And I went on Eddie's recommendation to NAA and got a hold of those guys, and they finally got somebody out there to take a look at it, give their estimate and bid on it. And they came back and said it needs $50,000 worth of work. Well, I got the thing for $9,000 plus the $500, and I've put in some more since then, not much. And the BPO from 2014 was for $20,000.
Okay.
So going by the idea that, you know, if you own a finance, you can get something closer to the rent. And so I figured it could be sold for $40,000 or $45,000 with owner financing. But I'll be into it for $60,000 if we do all this work, which doesn't make any financial sense. So I'm thinking about, you know, doing a minimal cleanup job and selling it to a fix and flipper, unless you can come up with a better idea.
Okay. So you've got about $11,000-$12,000 in this asset. And let's look at the BPO here that you sent me just to kind of go over that. Let me make it a little bit bigger here so that we can kind of see it pretty well. They're saying that, and this was done in 2014, mid-2014, I believe. Oh, excuse me. Says an as-is value of 20 and a quick sell of 12. So the market supply foreclosure activity now was moderate then. I would say it's probably down where it's very manageable at this point. Since it's been a while ago, there was an oversupply at that time, and I'm sure that probably is not the case any longer. And I pulled up Zillow before the call, so we'll kind of look at that just for a
okay.
minute as well and kind of look at that. Subject property is it's a two-bedroom, one-bath. When we look at the comps that were done back then, they were relatively close. You had one that was an REO. The others were seemed to be arm's length transactions, and they're across the board from 15 up to 49.9. Of course, the original list dates were in 2013 and 14. So things have kind of turned around quite a bit since this BPO was done. Let's scroll down here and have a look at the property from the front of it. Let's see. Those are the sold comps. I think this one is right down the street. and right around there. So, okay, let's look at what this thing, this one looks like. Where do you live, Les?
Colorado Springs.
Okay, so you're in Colorado. Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Let's go back up. What was there? I was trying to see what the comments were there on the bottom, and I'm trying to manipulate my screen so that I can see them a little better. Let's see. The oversupply is keeping values low and slowing, preventing any recovery that other areas are experiencing. Good thing about that is kind of that Zillow kind of takes that away, since the area seems to be recovering just a bit. So let's kind of look at that as well. And you know, we all know that we take Zillow with a grain of salt, but they're showing this estimate on this at 45,226, and they're showing the rents estimate at $710 a month. Hmm. Their comments on the market, let's see. This is kind of an understatement right here, right, Les?
Yes. Some repairs. Good condition. Well, not anymore. Hardwood floors, yeah, under the destroyed carpet, maybe.
Right.
Spacious kitchen with nothing in it. Yeah, that's all good.
There you go. That's all good. That's right. Okay, so, you know, they are showing some increase in value over the last 30 days. So, you know, I think that the BPO that was done back in 2014, I think a lot has changed as far as this area in that period of time. I think even the as-is value is somewhere, you know, somewhere right at 20 or a little bit north of 20 in there as well. So let's kind of flip through this. And also, you got to realize that that a company like National Asset Advisors, they're hiring a local contract to do that work, right, Les? So it's going to be much more than it would be if you sold this to a local investor.
Yeah,
that actually went through, because we can look at the bid that they did here, and as you know, we kind of flip through it, you'll see, you know, the refrigerator at, you know, 640, and a dishwasher and garbage disposal and a range and range hood and cabinets and flooring, yeah, and you know, drywall and all of those things that, you know, that a local guy could do it for probably half of that,
yeah,
or less.
Yeah.
This is talking $7,000 for windows. I know there was $9,000 for something else. There's $3,160 for drywall. Smoke detector, $175. You know, they're doing it. They're managing that process. So, you know, they've got a markup, yeah, in this as well, and they're subcontracting out the work.
Oh, sure. This is Retail Plus.
That's Retail Plus. That's exactly right. So, you know, based on that, and I just want to kind of strip down here to the bottom so everybody can kind of see what, I know I'm flipping through this quickly, but we don't want to go through it line by line. But they did a very detailed job, like 10,830.
Yeah.
It's an impressive bid sheet, that's for sure. You know, that almost $11,000 for the AC system seems a little.
We don't even have AC out here, so I didn't even know if that's close or way too high.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that we just put a unit in. It's about a 1,200 square foot space, and it was $3,900 complete.
Ah, okay. And this is like 672. That's my other worry. It's pretty small. I've never had an apartment that I rented out that was that small. Oh well.
So yeah, they're using all of that $880 for debris removal and exterior door at $700. So yeah, they, you know, again, but that's the way they, you know, they are going to do a very thorough job. They're going to manage the process, and it will totally be hands off for if you hired them to do this job, and it would be done right. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about that at all. That's just, you know, not in the cards for you on wanting to get that involved in doing this rehab, correct?
Right, exactly. Okay. Let the next guy do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, since I've owned a lot of REO, kind of telling you my thought process.
Please,
thank you.
And I know Joe probably has some insight on this too, but when I owned a lot of REOs, this would happen to us occasionally. And the first thing is that you want to continually have that property out there for sale.
Okay.
Because you never know when some guy's going to come by. He's a local landlord. It's a guy that, you know, could rehab most of it himself. And you can make some kind of deal where they go in, do some of this work, and you don't have to absorb all the costs. So I get it on the market in every way I could now that it's secured. I go to the cash buyers list. I would have signs in the yard. I would have signs in a pretty good radius around the property. I would list it everywhere I could, Craigslist. I mean, you just name it anywhere that you can list the property, list it. I'm not personally a realtor, but I'm just saying get the phone to ring and answer the phone. Do not put signs out there and then not answer the phone because it's Saturday.
Right.
So answer the phone and talk to everybody about it. And you would be surprised at how many properties I've sold that I didn't have to do a lot of work to that needed this kind of work.
Wow. Cool.
And then that way you also find a lot of local people that do work and get references if they're an HVAC guy that say he calls, well, that's what I do for a living. Well, you know, get references or, you know, because if he could put the HVAC in, that's 10 grand right there on your list.
Yeah.
You know, if he can do that, you know he can do all the appliances.
Easy.
So I think there's still a lot, you know, there's still a pretty good upside there considering that, you know, this property is, you know, if it rents for 710, you've still got a lot of difference in what the value is and what you have invested. You need that guy that could go in and do some of this work himself.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, and then along the way, if you need to spruce it up as far as get the sheetrock done or do paint, do things that are cosmetic that might get you somebody in there or somebody, you know, just somebody a little bit more interested, then, you know, maybe you might bump the price up more than the value, or you might, you know, there just might be some other kind of deal there that you could make to finish that out in regard to the appliance package and those kind of things that it needs.
Right. And you know, Les, also what I would do as well, you've got a great retail bid as far as what it's going, what it would cost if someone walked in and hired a contractor and never laid a foot in the door. What I would do as well is I'd go ahead and Google, and I'm not sure who has the RIA there in Statesville, North Carolina, the Real Estate Investment Club there locally. Mm-hmm. But certainly I would go in and I would call the local Real Estate Investors Club, and I'll kind of look and see if I know somebody in that area. But I think Statesville's not a huge area, but I may have somebody there.
And there might be somebody in Charlotte, which is just like an hour south.
Yeah, Charlotte there is huge. I mean, there's I've got two or three, and even Dwayne lives in Charlotte and so on. So, and he's got some contacts there also. So I would go ahead and get somebody local to go ahead and clean the yard up.
Okay.
You indicated there was debris. I would go ahead and get all of the debris. I'd clean it all out, get everything gone, get it cleaned up, sweep it out. Okay. Do all of that, and then as you're doing that, I would go ahead and put a sign on it immediately, advertising it for sale. And then I would also send the leader of the local RIA, and like I said, I can point you in the right direction there.
Thank you.
And have them just present it at their next meeting. Hey, we've got a guy that lives in Phoenix. He's got a house here that, it, you know, needs to be fixed up, wants to sell it. You know, he can be flexible, could possibly be flexible on terms. I truly think you could get about $20,000 out of this as it is.
Wow.
I'd clean it up first, but as it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Getting the trash out and doing some things like that makes a big difference. It does. But I'd put some signs out around the neighborhood. And the other thing, when people are there cleaning up, if they have a contact number, if they can, if whoever is there hauling the trash and doing the yard, If you say, if anybody drives by and wants to know about this property, here's my phone number, make sure they call me.
Good.
When people are there working, you'd be amazed at neighbors that will stop and ask about it.
Right. Good point.
Yep.
So make sure everybody has your phone number, or get them a sign or something to put there so they've got a phone number and a contact. People that are dropping by can call you.
Yep.
Great. Now, I think I've got a deal with National Asset Advisors about they were going to get somebody in there to give me this bid, which they've done, and then we're going to put a sign in the yard and start marketing it. So I don't know if I've got a contract with them or what, but anyway, I think I've sent them some money. So am I locked in to go through them? I mean,
I don't
I'm
know.
Sure I can, in addition to these other stuff.
You're going to have to read through your agreement with National Asset Advisors and then talk to them. And I would just explain to them the situation that, you know, I've got a $50,000 bid here from you guys, and you know, the house is, I can't put 50,000, I can't have 60,000 in it and try to sell it. But certainly, I would go ahead and check into that. But simultaneously, I would get, like I said, get the word out, and I'll send you, I'll email you a couple of RIA contacts in that area.
Thanks, Joe.
And, you know, they're the guys and gals with their fingers on the pulse, and that's what, you know, their membership is looking for. So, you know, it's a place like this, but I would go ahead and kind of clean it up and do whomever it is you hire to do some of this work. And again, I would check, you know, when I send you this RIA stuff, and I'll do it when we get off the call, just give them a call and say, hey, you know, who do you have locally that'll do this type of thing? And just like Martha said, have them, those guys that are there doing that, have them have some flyers. Or, you know, at the very least, your phone number, because you would be amazed that it happens every time that house could have been sitting there it has been sitting there for a while. But when somebody goes over, and even if they're just mowing the yard or hauling out junk, people are going to come over and wonder what's going on. And they all know somebody that either would like to invest in a property or, you know, would like a property that they could possibly afford and work on, which you would certainly entertain that type of offer on this as well.
You bet.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the RIAs may have some contractors too. I don't know what your situation is. I agree with NAA, but you certainly have a good list here of what needs to be done. So, you know, depending on your situation there, if you get some other contractors, you might could get part of it done or some of it done, depending on where you are with NAA. So you might find some local guys too. So
good. Yeah, I do have, like I said, $3,800 in insurance money if I can get it out of my reserve account at FCI somehow. And so I'd definitely be willing to throw that much in if I could find that much stuff that would actually raise the value for somebody walking in the door.
Well, I would tell you this, and this is just this is something that happened to me about a year and a half ago. So I had a similar, a 2-1 house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the door was wide open. It had been vacant for probably, I don't know, over a year, maybe not quite that long. There was nothing left in that house. Nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely nothing. And I thought this was in our retirement account. I thought this is going to be a loss. And I mean, I just wanted it out of, you know, like my IRA account, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want the liability of having something happen and here are the assets in my retirement account.
Mm, yeah.
And so put a sign in the yard, had somebody go over, secure the house, put up signs. And my phone rang off the wall that day. I'm not saying yours will. I'm just saying my phone rang off. I was just like, it was primarily Hispanics, and I got tons of calls. But it ended up a lot of them were bird dogs for a guy that buys houses in that area.
Uh-huh.
And he was a rehabber. And when I finally got to the point that I had negotiated a price to sell the home for $20,000, the guy was like, oh, I'm not funding it. I have another guy that's going to fund it. And then it was a rehabber that, you know, that was actually funding the deal.
Mm-hmm.
and paying the bird dog a fee,
right.
Which
yeah.
was fine. Cause, sure. This was on a note that we had was almost paid in full, and it was a divorce, and they walked away.
Oh, wow.
They didn't hardly owe any, maybe $1,500, $2,000. I mean, they hardly even owed anything on the loan, and they walked away from it. They had been using it for a rental. They didn't want to fool with it. So long story short, I mean, the rehabber paid me $20,000 for the house. So, you know, there's deals out there. You just got to go stir up some action on it.
Right.
So.
Nice.
And that progress will certainly, you know, it will progress along. I mean, it's certainly not a lost cause. It has some value there, and you're just going to have to kind of back yourself out of that simply by doing that process. So that's cool. Okay. Let's see. We have a couple of questions and comments.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And listen, let me know. I'll send you a couple of the guys that are in the RIAs there locally. And Larry Goins is there actually in the Charlotte area as well, so he could probably give you some insight and so on as well. Let's see. Todd Richards said, it is, the bid is more than the house, but again, we know that. And your experience with NAA was very positive, Les?
The jury's still out. They've been slower, and they've apologized for it. They were about to get rid of their contractor if this guy didn't come through. So we'll see. I'll say so far. Nice people.
You got to realize that, you know, they're kind of new with us, and the volume that we're shooting their way is, there's going to be a few growing pains there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But all in all, I think they're the quality of the bid there was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, you know, like Eddie says, you know, and Charles, you know, you got to manage those vendors. So you got to keep on, keep on that for sure.
Okay.
Lisa also says that air conditioning is beyond essential in Statesville, North Carolina, and I agree. certainly.
Okay. Yeah,
And Martha, Lisa is asking as well, did you give a local number or did you use an 800 number on your signs?
No, I always put my cell number.
Yep.
There you go.
Always
put
my cell phone number, and I answer the phone. I'm telling you, if you don't answer the phone, it says you cannot get these people back on the phone.
Yeah.
It's the strangest thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put my number on it, not the realtor's.
Well, of course, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You've got a really good reason to sell this. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm motivated, but I won't tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
there's nothing wrong with being motivated, that's for sure. Okay. We're all motivated.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Well, just, yeah, keep us informed on what that looks like. And as soon as I get off the call, I'll shoot you a couple of phone numbers there as well.
Okay. So, thanks, Joe.
Are you going to the class this weekend in Phoenix?
In Phoenix?
No, it's my mother's 93rd birthday, and I'm baking.
You better do that.
So, yeah, another time. I'd love to get to Phoenix this time of year.
That's right. Well, that's what Eddie said. So you're going to I'm going to Phoenix. You're going to Chicago. So, yeah, I think you got the better end of that deal. So.
Yeah, you got the short straw.
That's all right. That's okay. I'm used to it. All right.
Okay.
Not used to getting the short end of the straw. That's not what I meant. All right, I'm gonna unmute somebody here. I had one of our students, Martha, that was at my presentation that I did in Chicago the other night, and I told Al when I saw him on the phone I was gonna unmute him and bring him out of his shell. So, hey, Al,
okay.
How are you from Chicago? Al? Okay, I guess I didn't.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Al, how you doing?
Good. Cold as heck here, guys.
Well, it was really cold Sunday night when I was leaving there, and then I thought I was going to freeze to death before I could get gas in the rental car on Monday morning about 6 a.m. when I was going to the airport.
Oof. Yeah, it was. We have a deep freeze here.
I know. Well, I'll be there Friday afternoon, so.
But I'll see you on Friday, and I'll buy you dinner, pal.
There you go. All right. Well, that sounds good. You've got my information, and we'll go from there. Okay, let's see who else. That is all the questions that we had for today. So, guys, if you've got some other stuff you want to talk about, let's do that. Or Martha, if you've got anything you want to run through about anything coming up on your side, we can certainly do that as well.
We will have a women's mastermind coming up again. We'll be announcing that here in the next week or so, getting ready to do a webinar on that. So if anybody's interested in the women's mastermind, they might just shoot me a quick email, martha@noteschool.com. It will, you know, the webinar will go out to all of the students on our list, but I'm just saying if you're specifically, if you know you'd like to come and you looked at this before and you weren't able to because of dates or conflicts or anything like that, let me know, because from the expo we ended up with about, we had about 50 or 60 women that came to the meeting in regard to the Women's Mastermind, so we are going to give them the first opportunity to sign up for the next mastermind, and then we will have a webinar for all students. So if you are interested, just please send me an email, martha@noteschool.com.
Very good. Now, Martha, where's this one going to be?
We're still going to go back up to Spanish Fort. I just feel like that's kind of where we need to be, unless we happen to get more registrants than we kind of have in mind that we're going to have.
Okay.
So it's a good venue, I think, for us and for the size of group that we have. And so right now we're gonna stick with going back there. And so I hope that those that couldn't come last time will have some interest in coming this next time. I'm thinking it's going to be the last weekend in April. That's what we have on the calendar.
Okay.
So be checking your calendar, and if you're interested, please reach out to us and let us know.
Yeah, that's that. I know that everybody that I talked to that was at the last one was just, they had a great time, and it was good fellowship, and everybody got to learned a bunch, and so that's a great experience and a great group to learn with for sure. So, yeah, make sure and get it on your calendar and respond and make sure that we get there. What else is going on?
Let's see. Well, we certainly, we've added a couple of, like, three new classes here the last week.
Yes, we have.
The three-day classes. So a lot of people may not realize that if they haven't been to the website and looked at the schedule. So if you are wanting to repeat a class or looking for something close to you, go back to the website and look at the three that have been added. So there might be something there that, you know, that's close to everybody.
Sounds good. Let's see. Yeah. We've got a couple of questions here. Bob, now, let's see. You say that when buying a new performing note with an installment payment, how much do you pay and when? Bob, if you want to do that, we can talk about the performing stuff tomorrow on the call, if you want to bring that up there, and we'll keep the non-performing on this one. So just send that, anything you have, into content, and I'll pick that up for tomorrow. Let's see. Stu, hope you and Tina are doing well. Let's see. We have a note on a property in Ohio. It was left vacant by the borrower. Do we need to get a deed in lieu / foreclosure before doing it? Yes, Stu, you need to go ahead and before you even though it has been vacated, you do need to get go ahead and finish that up either through the deed in lieu or the foreclosure. If you can get through, let me unmute you there, Stu. Hey guys. Hey Tina. Hey Stu.
Hi Toe. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Good. Oh, we're peddling along. You might say.
So what process is this in? You know they've left. Did you file for foreclosure already, or what's going on with this?
No, what's happened, Joe, is they left. We couldn't get a hold of them. We changed servicers and went over to NAA.
Okay.
They've gone in. It cost us $1,800 to get it cleaned out because it was just a mess.
Right.
And now there's a bunch of work that needs doing to it.
Okay.
So some plumbing repairs. They're talking about a furnace and a new water tank. And I'm just trying to get a price on that.
Okay.
But As you guys were talking here, I just thought we don't have any. We can't get hold of the seller
right.
or the buyer, I should say.
Right.
But we haven't got anything from him. Do we still need to get something from him?
Yeah. You need to go ahead and get it in your name and go ahead and follow through with the foreclosure. Had that been started when you bought the note or no?
No, we bought it as a performing note.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
and,
so
Colonial.
Got it. Okay, you've got it with National Asset Advisors. I would go ahead and tell them the situation, and let's go ahead and get that process so that you can take ownership of the property.
Okay. Now we've got a situation here where it's similar to what you had on before. There needs more work done in that property than I think it's worth.
Right. Well, again, so you're moving in the right direction as far as getting it cleaned out and so on and getting that done. But you need to, the next step is, to take ownership of it. Right now, you have the right to go in and secure your collateral, but you need to go ahead and go through the process of getting the deed to the property.
And, okay. Okay.
And once you do that, then you would have the ability to sell it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so we got one step ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, you did the right thing by taking care of the property and making sure that it's secure, and hopefully that's what you did. And now
yes.
Secure, I would go ahead and go through the process of getting the deed to the property. So let National Asset Advisors inform them of that and get that started so you can get that taken care of and you can get this thing marketed and get it done in the next couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah. And Joe, I just want to say something, not to alarm anyone on the call at all. I'm not trying to do that. I just want to say that if you've got a performing loan that goes to non-performing, try to be sure, take the appropriate steps. And in other words, if they don't give you a deed in lieu and you are going to have to go through with the foreclosure, you do have to be careful about possessions that are in the home.
Yep.
Even if it's nothing that's of value, if they were to come back wanting something from the home that they left, you just have to be a little bit careful about that. And I know Charles has talked about that and spoken about that several times on the non-performing call.
Right.
So that protocol you do kind of need to follow, because he has talked about how they've had to actually store furniture and all kinds of things that have been left behind during the foreclosure process until that foreclosure is completed.
Right. But you just want to make sure that it is secure, and then if there are things in there that are possessions that they're not worth anything to you, but somebody could make a big deal out of it. So yeah, you need to keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah, nice. We had it secured and winterized, but yeah, we probably
plus we've had it all cleared out. It was full. It was just Charles has seen the pictures.
Okay. Well, good. So you've gotten some good advice, then. So that's great.
Oh, no, except we've had all that removed. So I hope that there's
not a problem now.
There's not a problem.
Well, it shouldn't.
And there normally is not. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to alarm anybody. It's usually they do not come back. I'm just saying, I just want everybody on the call to really, to think through what the process needs to be. And for the future for you guys, too, if there were to be something of value that you need to store, even if you store it in the garage or in a room, so that if they do come back to claim something during the time frame that they can claim it, that it's there and that they can just take it. So, or that you could get someone there to give them anything that would be something they would like, that they're trying to get back. So I know it's not common, and we see it a lot. We know most people walk away. They never come back. But I'm just saying, I know that Charles has spoken about that several times, and I just wanted to mention, for everyone to be careful about the protocol and what to do next. So.
Exactly.
Right. Hey, thank you, Martha.
Okay. Keep us informed on that. Hey, Martha, this is good. You can kind of help us with this one as well. Les says, when does it make sense to use a document storage company like Richmond Monroe or somebody like that? I don't. Do you guys, with the notes that you own in your IRA, are you keeping your own docs?
We do not. We have two different processes, and the main thing to me is have a process and like have a system and use that system every time. What we do is we have a document custodian for some of our retirement accounts, and we use that custodian all the time. Then because of the fact that we buy performing loans and we sell partials in our retirement accounts, we want to always have those documents with a third party and know they're secure, and we want our partial buyer to know where they're stored, to know that they have access to them online. The servicer has access to them online through the document custodian, and then that way we have a third party holding those originals.
Right.
So we either use a document custodian, or we do have one of our servicers that will hold documents and act as the document custodian, and we will also let that one servicer hold the documents. So we definitely have a protocol to that, and we do not, we used to store them ourselves, but we do not do that anymore. Part of the reason is because for the most part, if we are selling a partial, then we want the documents to be with that custodian.
Right.
So especially
when you're, even if you're buying non-performing, you modify and then you sell a partial on that, you know, that's still, you still want to have those documents available. And that's exactly right. Can you mention the name of the one that you guys are using for on the partials, Martha?
We use Orion Financial Services in regard to some of our accounts, and of course they do documents. They're a document custodian. They also prepare documents and record documents. So everything as it goes through the process of closing, and then also with us, and then also on the partial, everything flows through them, so we know the documents are leaving their office and coming back into that account at their office.
Yeah.
We use Allied on a lot of our loans where we are buying a full performing loan and then selling a partial, and we will ship the original documents, and Allied will hold documents for us also.
And Orion is in, I think they're in the Dallas area, aren't they, Martha?
Aren't
they the custodian for all of the Rock Top assets and so on as well?
Yeah, we have several different hedge funds that we've worked with that they hold documents for, and then they hold documents for us, for Colonial, and all of different entities that we have. So, yeah.
Okay, very good. Hey, Brian, your question on the classes, just go to noteschool.com. You don't have to go. I mean, I'm sure they're on the member side as well, the three-day classes, but just go to noteschool.com and click on live classes, and you will see those upcoming three-day classes. This weekend is in Phoenix, and that's a Rich Rewards class. Next weekend is in Columbus, Ohio. That's a big money. It's a big money class. The 19th through the 21st of February is in Minneapolis. I know that there, Susan and Rachel are working on a venue for that three-day class today. That's a Rich Reward class. Chicago, March 4th through 6th, and that's a big money class. Tyson's Corner, Virginia, right outside of D.C., is March 11th through 13th. And then April 8th through 10th, and that probably the San Francisco one is probably going to be moved to later in the month of April. So if that's on the site right now, just understand that may be, we talked about moving that later into the month of April. And that's going to be a Rich Rewards class in the San Francisco area towards the end of April. So. And one other question, and then we'll call it a day, and that's from Mr. Charlie Wilson. Charlie says, can you briefly go over any workout strategies for an owner-occupied NPL? Is there no information in the diligence file concerning arrearages or penalties? Would you get that information once you purchase the asset, possibly to be able to forgive or stretch out? I think we talked about this a little bit last week as well, Charlie, as far as is contacting the owner before you own the asset. And that's a big no-no, isn't it, Martha?
You should not contact them until you've closed, and actually own the loan.
The asset, that's right. And then, you have to be careful, especially on a performing loan, it can be different because they're not delinquent. But if it is a non-performing asset, And they may be under, they may have filed for bankruptcy, so you certainly wouldn't be able to call them there because they would be under the bankruptcy rules and things like that. So once you, you know, once you own the asset, and if you know that there's somebody there, just got to understand that you're only going to find out once you have the asset whether they are the owners or whether the owner has moved on and they're using it as a rental, which is a great rental, by the way. When you're not making the payment, you receive rent on it. But that's just part of the process as well, Charlie, is that you're going to, you know, have to go through it, have the asset, and certainly we all love to be able to modify the loan and possibly get a apply for hardest hit funds, but that's really something that you're going to have to, that you'll discover once you own the asset and work it out. I know one of our students just bought a loan in Memphis and had to foreclose on that one. The house was occupied, but the challenge was that, that when the door knockers went over and knocked on the door, the, it was occupied by a tenant, by a renter. And this particular student actually kept the tenant in the property and went through the foreclosure and now is going to sell them, seller finance the property to them. So it's just a process. I know we'd love to be able to talk to the owners prior to, but that's just not possible on the non-performing side as well. All right, guys, it is 5:02. Martha, thank you so much for being on the call today and bringing all of your insight. And guys, I will talk to you again tomorrow after, either in the morning or afternoon, depending on where you are on the performing call. So everybody stay warm, and we'll talk to you guys very soon. Thanks so much, Martha.
All right. Hey, y'all have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye, everybody.
Bye.